Hi, I'm LJ Tucker. This is the 7,000 Volts Live an Electrified Life podcast. Today we're going to be talking about gratitude. Gratitude to me is being grateful for where you're at and what you have and where you're going. Sometimes we can get complacent of wanting something else and we're not grateful for what we have. I've learned, you know, growing up in church, it's gratitude is the key element for success, whether you're in business or just your personal life. You got to have a sense of gratitude. And I'm very grateful to where I'm at, from where I've been and to where I'm going. I believe the scripture says you are grateful over a few things and I'll make you ruler over many. I think that's Matthew 25 and 21. And I've learned to appreciate what I have in order to appreciate where I'm going. There's a few people that I'm very grateful for that's been in my life. And, you know, my mom, my sisters, my brothers, family and friends. But I have a godfather. He entitled me his surrogate son, and I titled him my grandfather, my godfather. And his name is Stan G. Takalakis. He's been a mentor. He's been a big influence in my life. He's helped me to where I'm at today, and I'm ever indebted in his debt. And he always just say, just pay it forward. That's his one of his words, just pay it forward. He's been that person, especially in the beginning, early days of trying to learn how to do business and the structure of business. I remember one time going to his office. We had a 7 o'clock morning meeting and I was running behind and I showed up late. And when I walked through those doors, he let me have it. He said, get out of my office. You don't respect my time. You didn't call. You didn't say anything. So therefore, I have nothing to say to you. Get out. And at the time, that was tough, you know, but it was tough love. But I learned from it, and it helped shape me into the person that I am today. So if I'm running late nowadays, you're going to get a call or a text from me because it's unacceptable. It's a sign of disrespect, and it's, you know, you don't have respect for the other person's time. So that's something major that I don't know if he even remembers. I believe he's like 95 years old now. His memory is not as strong as it used to be, so I don't even know if he still remembers that day, but I do. I remember like it was yesterday. And I'm grateful for that because it was a teachable moment for me, and I'm ever so grateful for that. A little background on Mr. Stan Tangalakis. He's been in business for over 50 years, so he's more than qualified to teach me about business and mentor me about business. He's been a financial help as well too, especially in the early days when I get into a jam or got into a jam. And, you know, he will always tell me my family came here as immigrants with the clothes on their back. And I'm ever so grateful he served himself in the U.S. Navy. And so he served that country well. And he's employed over thousands of people in his company at Mercury Medical here in Pinellas County. And he's just been a big influence in my life. You know, he's always taught me, even with times that I dealt with getting in trouble and had my run-in with the law that we would talk about in another episode. But I remember those days. He's like, you're not a criminal. You made a mistake and you committed a criminal act. And you'll learn from it, and you'll be a better man for it. And just so many lessons that he's taught me from that to family, how to be a man and how to take care of your family. And we never ended a meeting without saying, what's the next step? And that's something that I've been able to use in my company. What's the next step? What's the next step? What are we doing next? What is the next step? And I'm very grateful for that because you can read some of this stuff in the book, but when you have somebody that mentors you one-on-one and gives you firsthand insight. It's like an unsung hero. For me, I'm grateful for it. It's like when I come to my office every morning and I open the gate up and I step through this door and I'm grateful for what I have, where I'm at. It's that sense of gratitude that keeps me not only humble, but it allows me to appreciate what I have, especially in my family and the people that helped me get where I'm at today. Speaking of family, another inspiration in my life was my grandmother. She passed away a few years ago. She was like one of my best, like one my people. So like she's like one of my best friends. She was 91 when she passed, and I can't even begin to tell you the inspiration that as a grandmother that she had on me. I came to live with her full time when I was 13, but I can remember in the early years, however you want to spend it. My grandmother bought me this little red wagon. I think I was about 7 or 8. And I was all excited about this red wagon. And I would just pull it and just put stuff in, just to, you know, do things the kids would do with a little red wagon. But the following week, she showed up in her little truck. She had this little Ford Ranger, a little 90, 92 Ford Ranger. She showed up. She's like, okay. She said, I bought you that wagon last week. Now it's time to put it to work. I'm like, well, you know, what are you talking about? So she had this truck full of watermelons. She said, you need to take that wagon and fill them up with watermelons and go in the neighborhood and sell these watermelons. I'm like, what? But that was one of my first experiences in entrepreneurship because of my grandmother, Mary Lee Blunt. That was her name. And we sold every watermelon that got put in that wagon. And that's how I spent my summers with the red wagon selling watermelons. And that was... It was an adventure in itself. But just hearing my grandmother's story, how she grew up. She grew up in the fields of in the country, picking peas, cutting watermelon, picking peanuts, cutting okra, cutting tomatoes, chasing chickens, milking the cows and stuff, just to hear her story and just to sit there as a kid and as an adult, because she never forgot those stories that she had grown up. And so I got a chance to live and see life through her eyes, how it was, you know, back in the early 1900s. It was quite a journey that she had to go on, not anything like, you know, my kids or your kids have to experience today, because everything is more social media, AC, you know, they don't have to feel the sweltering heat all the time because everybody's inside the AC all the time. So I'm grateful for that experience from my grandmother that she was able to share with me before she passed away. And she definitely was a big influence in my life. And as a father, just to see my kids, how they're growing up, you know, giving them a good life, instilling them the responsibilities of life and what is expected, and just to see the willpower and drive that they have. My daughter, Gabby, she's in gymnastics right now. She's got states coming up. This is her first year competing, and she's brought home 18 medals already. So it's like, man. And as we speak at this time, my daughter, oldest daughter, Olivia, she's in Orlando at the FBLA, Future Business Leaders of America. She's one of the finalists for that event. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for my three boys. They're in sports, and from baseball, basketball, soccer. I'm just grateful just to see the direction that they're being involved and their willingness to try to learn what we're teaching. My son wore a shirt yesterday. He was born for greatness. I'm like, well, you know, where this shirt came from, but I like it because this is the kind of stuff that we always try to instill in them, that they're born for greatness. And hopefully they can realize their true potential in life. And that's what it's about, you know. Being able just to sit back and watch your kids flourish at a young age. Every little award they receive, their eyes light up, and I'm grateful. I can't say that enough because I truly am. I appreciate where I'm at. I understand where I'm going. And it's just a part of life. Just being grateful. Some people you can see and you can hear it in their tone. They're always bickering and complaining about what they want, where they want to go. And it's easy to slip in and not being grateful for where you're at and what you have. I've heard people say, man, I just want a new car. I'm tired of this car. I'm like, well, appreciate the car that you have. Don't this car take you to work? Try to wash it, you know, take it to, you don't even have to wash it yourself. You can pay to have it washed and clean, or just the simplest things you can do to be grateful. Again, that scripture, Matthew 25 and 21, you are grateful with few things, and I'll make you rule over many. So how can you want something new when you don't take care of what you have? It's like that old saying, the old guy sits in front of the fireplace and says, give me fire and then I'll put wood in you. It doesn't work that way. People say, well, when I get a new house or I get my new car, I'm going to do this and that. Like, well, start right where you're at. Start in the apartment or the mobile home or wherever you live at. Keep it clean. Man, when I get a new shirt, man, I can't wait to get a new pair of shoes. Well, take care of the pair of shoes that you have. Take a dust rag or something and wipe the dirt off and show that you're grateful for what you do have. And then it becomes easier to appreciate the newer stuff when you have. Like, I always remember my first saw when I started this business. I still have it. I took care of it then and I take care of it now. Even though it's sitting inside of a shadow box, we keep the dust brushed off of it because I'm grateful for that saw. That saw, that $40 pole saw, has me at this present moment sitting in front of a camera that we were able to purchase because of what that $40 pole saw did. It opened up the doors for this podcast. And it was by me being grateful for the little things, for where I'm at today. And that's what I think about gratefulness. My wife, man, I remember my godfather always telling me, you will attract a beautiful woman, a beautiful wife, but you have to start where you're at and position yourself. And position myself is what I've done. And the rewards just continue to pour in because of those early decisions of being grateful and humble right where I was at. And as I sit and speak today, I'm still humble and I'm ever so grateful for where I'm going and where I'm at this present moment. I'm very grateful of being a certified arborist. Going through the training, going to St. Pete College, Alan Mayberry, I'm grateful for that guy. He's like the walking Bible when it comes to arboriculture. And I can still call him today from time to time. In fact, we have to meet up on a project that we're working on together this week coming up. And being where I was before I became a certified arborist to where I'm at now, I can't even tell you how grateful that I am, because I understand how I operated before. It's like before enlightenment and after enlightenment. And I'm very enlightened now because just being a professional in my field just in itself just separates me from the 95%, if that's what you want to call it, the people that don't take what they do seriously in this field. One of the most dangerous jobs in the world for as that is concerned, because every 2 to 3 days, the statistic says, in this field, somebody either gets seriously hurt or killed. That's alarming. That's very alarming. And if you're not a professional in what you do when it comes to arboriculture, my suggestion is to you is to start by becoming a certified arborist. Becoming a certified arborist has helped and opened up doors for me in the business to just go to another level, because I get called in on particular job sites. I get called in on different build orders, like they're building a new Publix in downtown Tampa. We were out this week and I had to consult with the building constructor, the GC. And if I wasn't an arborist, they had no reason to talk to me. But by being a certified arborist, it's opened up and afforded that opportunity to me. So I'm very grateful, because again, I knew where I was before being an arborist, and now that I'm an actual arborist, it is a big degree of separation, because it allows you to act on your training versus just winging it. You can't, you know, again, if I was I think I'm a pretty good cook as well, but I'm not a professional cook. And if I was to be a professional cook, I would get more training in cooking to become that professional cook. If I was a lawyer, a doctor, of course, I'll have the 5 to 9 years training, whatever it takes to become the professional in that field and be the very best. And so when I see a person in their profession as it is, I'm very grateful. And it's like you can sit back and you appreciate what that person is doing because you know that they put in the hard work and the training to become a professional at what they do. Oh, I was at the metal shop this week. Something got bent on the truck. And so I took it to the metal shop, the machinist, and just to watch them at their craft, just take this bent piece of metal that got bent and just to straighten it back out to it was like it was brand new. They had the right equipment, the right machinery, and it probably took them less than 15 minutes. And I just looked at him and said, wow, man, you guys are very good at what you do. And he said something that I'm very familiar with. He said, it's all about the right piece of equipment for the job. And, you know, he was able to fix it. He was able to give me a bill, and I gladly paid it because I was very, very appreciative of him being a professional in his field. As a certified arborist, we get a privilege. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be able to work with nature. It's like you're working with God himself. It's like to see the beauty of nature, how it has its place, and just knowing your responsibility to that nature, especially when it comes to trees, because you get to reshape these trees structurally, or you can damage them permanently if you don't know what you're doing, if you're not a master at your craft when it comes to these trees. And so being able to hear the birds sing, the frogs, the crickets, the sun sets, the sun rises, being able to open up the trees so the rays of the sun can just flow through, being able to enhance views for water views. There's 4 months out of the year that we have to deal with extremely heat here in Florida. That's May, June, July, and August. You get past those months and everything else is a breeze. And so I'm very grateful to be able to work outside. And it's funny because you hear other people say, I don't see how you guys can do it working that heat. I'm like, I can't see how you can sit down in a chair all day inside. I said, I get the privilege of working outside. And we're in spring now, so we got like the most perfect weather to work in. And it's a beautiful sight now that the pollen's almost gone. And just being able to work in nature, like the bees, it's a blessing and a cursing when it comes to bees. And what I mean by that, you don't want to be trimming on a tree where there's a beehive. So you have to be able to identify that beehive immediately, because if you don't, you can be in a life-changing, if not life-ending, experience messing with the bees. The bees have a job to do. They're going to pollinate. They're going to go. They're going to forage during the daytime and pollinate and bring growth to all the plants and trees. But at the same time, you do not want to work around one of their hives. And we run into our fair share of hives, and you have to call the beekeeper in to remove, extract those bees. And sometimes it's not as easy as it seems, because if a bee gets in one of those hazardous trees, there's no saving them. I think my beekeeper told me the last time I called him out on a project, he said, those bees are not worth my life. And he meant it, because there's no way safely to go and remove the bees at 52 feet in the air on a hazardous tree that's falling apart. So those bees had to be taken care of in other measures. Business has, in itself, has many and numerous challenges. From, again, I might have mentioned this in my other podcast, of hiring people and training people, and just those are challenges in itself. We're not even talking about the financial side of the business, just bringing the right people in that's the right fit. And I understand from business, everybody's not the right fit. even if they have the proper training, it is sometimes it's just not a right fit working. Like my team that's working behind the scenes today doing this podcast, they're the right fit. They're professionals at what they do. It's not my territory. My man Ryan French, he's working in cameras, and I have a respect for what he does. This is what he do. He can probably do the stuff in his sleep. And then my man Matt Tabler, he's working the screens and coming up with the contact. They're professionals that way. They do. And then, you know, I'm ever so grateful, and I have so much gratitude for that, because I respect people that are pros at what they do. They took the time. They have the proper education to get what they do done professionally in a timely manner, and that's important. And I always respect everybody's traits and crafts, because if I have a plumbing problem, 99.5% of the time, I'm calling the plumber. If it's something minor, once I address and assess the situation, and it's something that I can get away with, just with a couple of screws and bolts, or maybe just a coupling in a pipe or something, then I'll twinkle with it. But 99% of the time, I'm just calling a professional in, so I don't flood the house out, or I don't make matters worse. Mechanical problems with the car, I'll look under the hood to see if it's something simple. 99% of the time, it's going to the dealership. Let's touch on the financial part in business that I'm grateful for. I remember when I just spoke the words, man, I need to get my own office building. And I spoke with a person that I had met at a trade show by the name of Taisha Scantlin. And she said, well, why don't you just go ahead and make the move? I was like, I don't know if I can. And so she said, come to my office. And we arranged. I came to the office. She looked over my financials. She's like, these numbers are good. You are in a position, because she had a background in banking. And she said, you're in a position to buy a building now. Your finances says so. So I said, okay, let's do it. And I'll keep the story short on this one. So she put me in some contact with some people, and we went, I looked at a few buildings. I put a contract in on this building, and, you know, I put a significant amount of money down in the sum, I think around $10,000. Well, anyways, the deal fell through at the end. The bank pulled out and said, we're not going to finance this deal. My wife, she wasn't as accepting that. She wasn't as happy about that. And I was more reserved. I was like, okay, this happened for a reason. God had her, you know, he has something better. It wasn't for us to get that building. She's like, yeah. She said, that's all fine and good, but we just lost like $10,000 deposit. I said, listen, we'll be fine. God has something better. And that brings us to this present day. Like a week later, we found this building, where we're at now. We went through a whole totally different bank. So from when that happened, till we closed on the building, I think it was a total of like 40 days. This building was twice as much as the one building that we're going to purchase. This building is 5 minutes from our home versus the other building was going to be 40 to 45 minute drive, maybe an hour in traffic, give or take. And I'm grateful. I'm definitely grateful to Novus Bank, who got this deal done. And I'm man, Aaron Sherwood at Synovus, man, he was a godsend, him and his team of people, because this deal, just like everything, just went the way it was supposed to went. And that's why I said earlier, every day that I step this building, I step onto this 2-acre facility lot, I'm very grateful, because it's dealing with people that went above and beyond. When one deal failed, you lost money. In the process, it reminds me of the God that I serve, when he says he'll give you double for your trouble. Well, he exceeded all expectations on that one. And here we are 7-8 years in this building, and looking to have it paid off here pretty soon as well. So that's what keeps you. Well, I can't speak for anybody else. That's what keeps me very humble and grateful, because situations like that seems to happen. Those type of blessings seems to chase you down. And that's why I stay humble and I stay grateful for where I'm at and what I have, because it's not as simple as 1, 2, 3. It's a journey. And on that journey, you're going to have those ups and downs. And you have to do it with a smile and continue to move forward, because that's what keeps you moving forward. You know, you have people that's been impacting your life directly, like my mom, my grandmother, Mr. Stan Tangalakis. And then you have those indirect impacts that people you never even met, but you follow them. The Dr. Wayne Dyers, the Earl Nightingales, the Oprah Winfrey's, the Michael Jordans. Like, you look at their success and you look at the Bill Gates, the Will Smiths, you look at their success. And for me, I study these people and I look at their background, and the one common thing they all have in common is they're very grateful people, and they have a sense of gratitude, not a sense of arrogance. Oh, I have all this money, because it's not about the money. Money doesn't make you successful. It's a byproduct of your success. And that's what I've learned indirectly from people that I've never even met. It's funny, because you look at these people and you give them names. I'm like, okay, if I had a second mom, it'd be Oprah. If I had a big brother, it's like, it's MJ. Or if I had that uncle, it'd be Uncle Denzel. And it's like, you look at their life and you find a way to incorporate things that you saw indirectly from their life and how they work hard to get where they're at. And again, the one common thing is the gratefulness, the humbleness that they have and they display in the public's view. And I don't know these people personally. The only person that I really know personally and has affected me directly is Coach Tony Dungy. And he's had an impact in my life as well, just from his life and the light that shines through his life. I am gratitude and grateful for all my experiences, good, bad, or indifferent. And Tiger Joe, my cousin, he's one of the first people that I hired. And I was grateful, and I am still grateful for him. He passed away 3 years ago, but he still had an impact, even though we didn't see eye to eye when it came to business stuff. I remember, like yesterday, we got into an argument at lunchtime. We went to Church's Chicken that day. Well, I went to Church's Chicken, brought it back for the crew. And he had a different way. We saw things differently. So he had a different way of dealing with the guys. I used to bring in younger high school guys during the summertime so I can mentor them and work with them and try to influence them in a positive way. And sometimes I feel like he was trying to corrupt them in his own way, because he did stuff just a little differently. And, well, it got to the point where I was disturbed this day, and it led to me getting electrocuted in the backyard right after lunch, like literally right after lunch this happened. And I just remember looking down. I was like, cuz, man, he said, what's going on? I was like, man, it got me. He said, what are you talking about? And I couldn't speak anymore after that. And that was in the moment I was getting electrocuted, however the electricity had grabbed me, and my hands had clenched up, and I couldn't shake it. It shook me to, you know, where I passed out. And I mentioned in the earlier episode, I thought that I was taking my last breath on earth at that point in time. And the whole ordeal is one do-over that I can have, that would be the one. Like, all the other mistakes in life that a person have is that's you like, oh man, I'm grateful for it. If I had to do everything over again, I wouldn't change anything. Well, I changed that because that electricity wasn't no fun, or was no fun at all. And although it led to greater things in my life, and it really shook me up and opened my eyes and allowed me to become a better me from the situation. And so that was part of the Tiger Joe experience, because he was there for that moment, and he was there for some other moments in my life that I'll speak about in another show. Thank you for watching my show. Thank you for listening to my show. Like, comment, subscribe. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, or topics, you can reach out to me on social media, ljtucker.com. My book, 7,000 Volts, Living an Electrified Life, will be coming out soon. You can find that information more on my website. Again, I appreciate your time. Have a great week and create a great day for yourself.